60s, a group of musicians did their part in launching this new wave of music called rock and roll. Anybody ever heard of the Righteous Brothers? Yes. Big group, famous for many hit songs. The most recognizable songs being You've Lost That Love and Feeling, yes. Rock and Roll Heaven, see it's a church song, Unchained Melody. Now one of the band members was a keyboardist named John Wimber. He was an exceptional keyboardist, exceptional sound engineer, but that's not what makes him stand out in history. John Wimber pioneered the Vineyard Church movement in the early 70s to become at their height 2,400 churches. The Vineyard Association of Churches became synonymous with the worldwide Signs and Wonders Holy Spirit movement. John Wimber described people in their churches as empowered evangelicals. Now, some of his story is he was radically saved in the Jesus movement era that swept our nation and immediately began to saturate himself with the Gospels in the Bible, reading and meditating on the life of Jesus intently. He was on fire and soaking up everything he could learn about Jesus. So he started going to church. The next thing after he started reading the Bible, he wanted to go to church. He wasn't raised in church. But he said, that's what it looks like I need to do. So he started going to church faithfully. After a couple weeks of regular church life, he went up to the pastor at the end of the service and asked this question. So, when are we going to start doing this stuff? The pastor was confused. They just had this inspiring song service and he preached a powerful sermon and now the service was over. The pastor asked John Wimber, what are you talking about? And John passionately replied, the stuff Jesus told us to do. Wow. Now get this. Sadly, the pastor replied, oh, we don't do that stuff. We believe they did it back in biblical days, but we don't do that today. In fact, the Vineyard churches were built on doing the stuff, as we all should be engaged in doing the stuff. We're called to be active agents of change for Jesus. Not inactive, but active. Today is the final component in the What's Next series, and it's just simply called Doing the Stuff. So let's remind ourselves a bit what Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus modeling this new way of life. When Jesus appeared on the scene, he radically challenged those that considered themselves godly and offered great hope to those that were far from God. Jesus brought the tangible power of God into everyday life. He set people free. He healed diseases. He calmed the raging seas. He delivered those in captivity. He taught people God's truth. He challenged the people. He brought clarity to the confused. He endured discrimination. He called out injustice. He brought hope, encouragement, and inspiration wherever he went. He loved unconditionally, especially the unlovable, the outcast, the ones that society rejected. He did God's stuff, and he challenged us to do the same. In Matthew 10, we see in verses 7 and 8, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons freely, give as freely as you have received. This is doing the stuff. And in the Gospel of Mark, we see in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name and they will speak in other languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Don't get crazy there. And if you drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Don't make a theology about this handling snakes thing. Don't go looking for trouble. You know, every snake that's out there isn't poisonous and it won't hurt you. But every snake out there can make you hurt yourself. Right? one day we're weeding in the garden, not the garden, but just a little patch that Susan was planting some stuff, and she was digging deep, and she dug up a snake. Well, she squealed just a second, and then she took that snake and snapped it in two. And I have not crossed her since. But that's a true story. I don't know if that snake was a poisonous or not, but he didn't have a prayer. He didn't have a chance. But don't make a theology of that kind of craziness. But listen, this is the stuff that we're to be doing. We were never, ever called to be a spectator sitting on the sidelines. Living for Jesus was never meant to be a spectator sport. If the enemy can't get us to fall into gross sin, he'll certainly try to deactivate us. If we're deactivated, it means we're not doing this stuff. There's a song we used to sing years ago. Some of you old timers here will remember. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit because I'm abiding in the vine. So we know in John 15, starting in verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who doesn't remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples." When you produce much fruit, when you do the stuff, you're truly his disciples. "This brings me great joy to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you would be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." Listen, this message is not to make you feel guilty at all. It really isn't. But it is meant to challenge you to be activated into action. You know, I've had occasions that I'd go out and try to crank my car and it wouldn't start. Sometimes it's a low battery. And that means the battery just doesn't have enough power to crank the car. It happens. But if I don't do anything, it stays that way. It never gets better. So that's when I put my battery charger on it. And after the recharge, the battery's charged and we'll crank the car again and I'm good to go. Listen, I know that life is hard at times and it can drain us. And the beauty of our corporate gatherings and the beauty of our private times of devotion and worship is our spiritual batteries are going to be recharged. Listen to this, 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." Let's look at it in a practical sense. What are some ways that we can live our life doing this stuff? How many of you remember show and tell? Most of you do. Think about your life as a Christian is to be full-time show and tell. How you live your life is doing a lot to affect people one way or the other. Psalms 105, 1 through 6 tells us, as you think about show and tell, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he's done. Sing to him." Yes, sing his praises. "Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength and continually seek him. Remember the wonders he's performed, his miracles and the rulings he's given. You children of his servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones." If you pay attention, God will give you opportunities to tell of his goodness if you pay attention. Susan and I have been in restaurants and have seen many God opportunities. Some we've taken advantage of, and sadly some we've missed. But we've always been amazed at how God can use a simple, simple conversation. One time we were in California Dreaming after church, and there's a couple next to us, and I found out the key to California Dreaming. There's always a wait list. Go to the bar and eat at the bar. It's that simple. You're welcome. There's never a line. There's always a couple open seats. So when we go there, we go to the bar. We don't order alcohol stuff, but we go to the bar and we order there. So you're sitting right around people. Well, it's obvious this couple that was next to us wanted to chit-chat a little bit. Now, I'm not a big chit-chatter, especially after church on Sunday when I have used my voice so much. I don't just do that. But they began to talk to us, and we certainly weren't rude, and we began to respond, and we talked about TV shows that they binge and maybe movies that we liked. And at one point in the conversation, I felt prompted to share a little bit of my testimony. And I surprised myself. I said, why did I bring that up? I'm just going to prolong this conversation. Why did I do that? But it turned out that the man that we're talking with, the couple, was a former pastor. He had walked away from ministry years ago and has lived his life away from God. I don't know what he did after that day, but his wife made a point to tell us that that was a divine appointment for them. We've never seen him again. I gave him my card. If he ever wanted to talk, I'd be glad to talk with him. Never saw him again. But you have to wonder, you can trust the Lord to take our obedience and do something with it. See, I don't think there's a downside to sharing with others what God has done in your life. It's quite the opposite. Remember, they are lives at stake. God wants none to perish. And if we're to be obedient and share what God prompts us, we sometimes think, well, I want to know what happens. Well, the results don't need to be your concern. As long as you're obedient, you can leave it alone. Paul writes this reminder in his letter to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I planted the seeds in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The results are always on God. You can trust God with the results. And I don't know how many times I've just said one little line and wondered why I said that line. And I may never know. But if I'm obedient to God, he's going to do something with that. And it's going to land right where it needs to land. And it's going to challenge, it's going to heal. Whatever the words are there to do, it's going to do it. So I want to just tell you a few things that might help you in being obedient to God to do the stuff. God may want you to pray for a person. Trust him and obey him. God may want you to share something of your story to someone. Trust God and obey. God may want you to give something of monetary value to someone. Trust God and obey. God may want you to invite someone into your life. Trust God and obey. God may want you to give someone some specific advice. Trust God and obey. God may want you to go out of your comfort zone for someone. Trust God and obey. God may want you to believe in somebody. Trust God and obey. God may want you to caution somebody. Trust God and obey. See, that list could go never ending. But God uses, most of the time, small little things. And he requires obedience out of his followers because he wants you doing the stuff. He doesn't want you idly sitting by and just getting fat and sassy on the things of God. He wants you doing the stuff. And see, what I've found in my life is you can't go wrong obeying God. In fact, I say this a lot. I know what it feels like to obey God, and I know what it feels like to disobey God. And disobeying God is not fun. It isn't. You're miserable. And many times you may be required to go back and do it. I've shared this a bunch of times, but we were in checkout line one day, and the Lord prompted me to pray for this, the cashier's knee. There was a line behind me, so I came up with every excuse not to, and I stuck to it. I left there without doing it. I'm sitting in the car, and I said, Susan, I got to go back. I think we'd even driven a couple blocks away. I said, I got to go back. What? What'd you forget? Well, I forgot to obey God. I didn't pray for that lady. And when I went back in, there was no line. She was sitting there doing nothing. And I could ask her if I could pray, and I prayed for her. What happened? I don't know. What happened is not my business. My business as a child of the King is to trust God and obey. That's it. It's as simple as that. There's an old hymn I grew up singing, and some of you might remember it. It's called Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives those away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Isn't that powerful? And if you grew up in a, maybe a traditional church and hymns were sung, most of the time we took for granted those words. In fact, a lot of that last song we sang was really, it really came out of Take My Life and Let It Be, the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. It just, and that hymn was written in 1847. And here, 2024, we're singing those same truths because God's truth always lasts. 1 Peter. That's awesome. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Listen to this. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. The next sentence I want you to pay attention to. Use them well to serve one another. It didn't say, put that on your business card and let doors be open for you. It says, use these gifts well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Another sentence to pay attention to. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Those verses end with all glory and power to Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We never run out of the evers. In fact, that's what we'll be spending eternity worshiping Him. We'll be seeing the throne, the majesty of Jesus. In the next breath, we will see a different facet and we worship there. The next, we see something else. And there's so many things to God's character. And it prompts us to worship. See, our show and tell is only to bring God glory. It's certainly not a place of bragging or gloating. But it is a place of obedience. The challenge today is to never stop doing the stuff. Never stop. Continually ask God, what do you want me to do here? He may speak through His Word. You may have that inner sense that God is speaking. I just know he's speaking. I know this is the way. I'm going to walk this way. It is so important to never stop listening and then obeying. Jesus left us here on this earth to continue what he was doing. Remember the challenge. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this new way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you, and I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of age. We are never sent out to do something without God. When he asks you to do something, he's right there. And he'll give you what you need. And listen, God gets more glory when you do things in his name that aren't your nature. It's not a far stretch for us to do stuff that's within our natural giftings. But when God asks us to do something outside of our giftings, that's when you really got to trust. You may not have anything to base any success on because you've never done it before. But God is not particularly interested in you having any place of security in your own giftingness or any of that, although he gave us all the gifts. He is more interested in you doing what he tells you to do, that you would allow him to move through us for other people's good. The truth is that we've been created, we've been called, we've been equipped, we've been commissioned, and we've been set apart to live our lives doing the stuff. Far too often, you'll find that people will say, well, like that pastor told John Wimber, we don't do that stuff. That was the stuff way back. But the God I serve says he's always the same. He never changes. What he says, he'll do. And he's chosen to use us. And that's just mind-boggling to me, because I know how frail I am and how undeserving I am. But he wants to use you. He wants to use me. And God gets great glory when he uses his people. And we turn that praise to him. That we just lay things down. We lay everything down. The stuff that we're good at, the stuff that we're not good at. We lay it down on the altar and say, God, however you want to use me, I'm available for you to use. And that's a dangerous prayer if you don't mean it. If you mean it, and it's like coming home. It's like coming home. That you're in that prime spot. You just sense God all around you as you're making steps forward. You feel him inside, and you feel him stirring you and giving you strength. And listen, Jesus is your biggest cheerleader. He wants you to succeed in what you put your hands to that God has told you to do. He doesn't mind us succeeding in other things, but those are not his majors. The stuff God wants us to do, he wants us to succeed. Why? Because people need to know Jesus. And God's going to use you. He's going to use me to do the stuff that he was doing before he left the earth. How many times have you had a coworker say, I just don't feel good today? And I wonder, do you just think about it and say, well, I'm going to remember them in my quiet time. Susan was at a doctor's appointment the other day that I went, and it was obvious I don't know if she's a PA or what, but she was having back trouble. She's a young girl, back trouble. And I kept being prompted to pray for her, and there was never an opening. But finally, before she left the room, I said, it's obvious your back is hurting. I just want to let you know that we are going to be praying. I didn't pray for her at the moment. She had to go right to the next room. But God made a way for just that little statement to come out. Is that any glory to me? No. Because God used a donkey. So it's not a big deal for God to, for us to be used. Because he'll use a rock, he'll use a donkey, he'll use something that's just crazy. But he uses you. And he whispers. Sometimes it's, you cannot get away from it. Other times it's just a small nudge. The more mature you get in the things of God, the nudges become the urgent things. Even the quiet nudges. Just the quiet nudges. The obvious stuff, you don't even have to ask God. You know he wants you to pray for this person. You know he wants you to do this. But there's a gentle moving of the Spirit if you invite it. And he'll lead and guide you. And he'll tell you not to go that way if you're headed in the wrong direction. I've even had him change the direction of the directions of where I was driving before. And I don't know why he did, but I felt strongly to do it. I don't know what would have happened. Could have been a wreck. Who knows? But I'm not worried about the reason. I am more worried about being obedient to the Father. And if he says, take Farrah Road instead of 277, I'm going to do it. Listen, the devil is not going to, he cannot counterfeit God's voice. If you get this thought of doing something crazy and you can't back it up with Scripture, don't do it. It's crazy. Because we've got the benefit of Scripture. But in all honesty, God did so many crazy things in the world that there's precedent for crazy stuff to happen. And he wants to know, will you be one that will be busy doing the stuff? Or are you going to be one that just sits in the bleacher cheering those others on? He wants you to get in the game. He wants you to quit being a spectator. He wants an obedient people. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell. And God desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. That means every single living soul is important to Jesus. Is important. And he wants to restore them. They may not be walking the lifestyle that you walk. Doesn't matter. God loves them and he sent Jesus to pay the price for their sin. Whether they know it or not is not relevant. That fact is there. And God is going to use his church to minister to be his hands and feet to the ones that the world says, leave them alone. They're too far gone. Think about the Samaritan. The least likely person to stop and help the man that was beat up. Preacher didn't do it. The bishop didn't do it. Someone that was less likely to even speak to them did it. And Jesus wants us to be so ready to do what he says to do when he says to do it. Now, I asked him to forgive me for not praying for the cashier, and he did that. But I learned a lesson that I don't want to walk away from what God has told me to do without doing it because I was miserable and I knew I'd miss the Lord. And listen, he's going to speak to you same he speaks to me. The more you listen, the more you hear. The more you are obedient to, the more he will trust you with. And you will find yourselves 6 months down the road surprised at how obedient you've been. Not that you were trying to be disobedient, but that you hit that many yeses. Yes, Lord, I will. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that just says, yes, Lord. And Susan was in the car with me, and I said, you know where that bumper sticker came from? She says, yes. In the mid-90s, a revival broke out in Pensacola, Florida. And it went on for 5 years. And one of the songs that was famous in that setting was had the chorus, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. So that bumper sticker that we saw was all the way back from the mid-90s. That somebody had put on their car. And it's just an encouragement that that's to be our response. Yes, Lord. I'll give you anything you want Yes, Lord. I'll pray for that person. Yes, Lord. I'll do the hard thing. Yes, Lord. I'll make room for them in my life. Yes, Lord. I'll share a little bit of my story. Yes, Lord. See, if our response is yes, Lord, oh, so many things can happen. And God's going to take care of you in the midst. And maybe you're saying, well, if I say yes and yes, yes to all these other people's needs, what about mine? God didn't want you to worry about that. He said, listen, you seek first the kingdom. The rest of the stuff that you need or even think you need, that's God's business. We don't have to worry about that if we're seeking first his kingdom. God is so wanting his church to hear loud and clear, start doing the stuff. Don't let someone sick by you without at least offering to pray for them. Don't let a stranger that brings up something that you could actually speak to, take advantage of that. Do it with grace. Jesus is graceful. Don't do it in condescension or any of that stuff, but just, hey, I've been there. This is what I dealt with. And this is how God met me. And you don't have to see the result. You're the delivery person. Yes, Lord. I'll do your stuff. Yes, Lord. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. That could really have stepped on your toes today, so I hope you wore your steel-toed boots. But it's not anything that God's not requiring of all of us. It's not picking on you. He requires that of us, that we are to be obedient and trust him with everything. And he's got people in your life that are that you have influence with. It has strategically placed you in their lives for you just to shine a bit on them. Certainly it's not you that's shining, it's Jesus. But as God brings people to your mind, write their name down and just pray for them. You don't have to know what. You don't have to know. God may end up letting you know. But all you need to do is bring them before the Father God. I'll do whatever you ask me to do in relation to this person that you brought into my life. I need your wisdom because I don't want to act outside of your wisdom. But I want to be a vessel that will bring you glory. And then someone else's life can be affected. That's really where we ought to be. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added to it. That's a promise. We don't have to worry about our stuff. Our biggest concern as a Jesus follower is to trust him in a way and do the stuff that Jesus wants us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.